Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Dan Anderson of Lifecycle Engineering and also SMRP's Communication Chair. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you very much, James. My pleasure.
So Dan, you're a learning and reliability solutions consultant with Lifecycle Engineering, which you joined 10 years ago. You also hold a bachelor's of science and a master's degree in business administration from the Citadel. In addition, you take some of your precious time and you serve as the communications chair for the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals, where you work in developing the Solutions Magazine, as well as the other different communication avenues that SMRP has available. Did I about sum that up right?
That's correct. So for the past 10 years, I've worked as the SMRP communications chair. So since January 2008, back then, you know, we worked on the Solutions newsletter, and I'm proud to say it's developed into the Solutions magazine.
Yeah, that is a great transition. I wasn't part of SMRP at the time when it was a newsletter. I've only known the magazine, but I'm sure that it was a big progression and a step change that all the members were looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. It's always a nice member's benefit to have Solutions Magazine, and we deliver it electronically or via the hard copy. But, you know, anybody who's associated with Solutions will get this, and it has, you know, a lot of good topics in the maintenance and reliability space.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been involved with maintenance reliability for quite a while, correct?
Yeah, for a little over 20 years, you know, in one capacity or another. I initially started out of college working for a company, DataStream, which supported clients with CMMS solutions and, you know, how to track and get accountability on, you know, your assets out in production, you know, track labor hours and parts utilized and things like that. So that's kind of where my background started in the maintenance and reliability space.
Okay. And then about 10 years ago, you said you joined SMRP with helping with the communications. Now, was that when you took the communications director role?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, so I took the role in really driving, you know, the Solutions magazine and growing it and developing it. But, you know, the role that entails is, you know, partnering with the SMRP leadership and advertising through the Solutions magazine and providing overall insight on business practices and reviewing article submissions and recommending avenues to optimize, you know, design, editing, publishing and distribution expenses.
Okay, so you have a huge influence on how Solutions looks, how it's operated, how it impacts each and every member.
That's correct, but I do have a tremendous amount of help. And if I could take a moment, James, just to talk about some of the committee that work with me. And again, it's extremely important that, you know, anybody who writes for Solutions Magazine is a volunteer, and anybody who serves on my committee is a volunteer as well, too. So it really starts with Randy Spoon, who works for Kellum Company. He is the communications director with them and, you know, was really my liaison between the management company. But I have some excellent volunteers that work with me as well. Tom Fernville with Marshall Institute has been with me for a while. Jay Podesky with U.S. Gypsum. Tom Wilk, who's the editor-in-chief, you know, of Plant Services. Mike Bacador, who works with Putnam Media as well. And Glenn Gudino, who's the president and CEO of Maintenance Technology. So you'll see that, you know, I have a whole wealth of knowledge in the journalism area, and I really couldn't do it on my own.
No, absolutely not. And that is a fantastic team you have lined up there. Even a few past podcast guests as well.
Yeah, good folks. And, you know, it took a little while just and positioning through SMRP and meeting folks out there. But those are the core team that, you know, comes to me and participates in our bi-monthly meetings. We usually get together via a conference call and exchange ideas on improvements and specific content that we'd like to have in the magazine.
All right. And what is one of the biggest challenges you have with Solutions? Do you have enough articles coming in on a regular basis? Is it figuring out which articles, because you have so many? What's the biggest challenge you typically experience?
You know, that's a good question, James. The biggest challenge back when it was a newsletter was really soliciting out and reaching out for articles. So I was using a lot of times my personal network and going out, you know, asking folks like Ricky Smith and Keith Bobley, hey, do you have a good topic in this area? And it's all based upon the SMRP body of knowledge, and the five pillars is what we, you know, directly put the topics together for the magazine. Nowadays, you know, they do such a great job at Kellum Company in solicitation of the articles that we have such great content coming in that we really have to be selective and focus in on, you know, is the content relevant to the edition of the magazine? So one of our biggest challenges is really getting through all the good articles and selecting ones that are aligned with the topic of the Solutions magazine.
That's a good problem to have, is being able to pick from the best content that there is out there.
Certainly.
Now, how important is communication and solution in delivering SMRP's mission?
Oh, it's extremely important, you know, not only as a member benefit to SMRP, but expanding our presence within the maintenance and reliability community. So, you know, brand awareness and the value of SMRP as a society by practitioners and for practitioners. You know, if you think of the age we live in, communication and information are related a moment's notice. So you have to stay relevant with the times through things like e-newsletters, blog postings, social media, and other areas around, you know, the Internet of Things.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned solutions, but what other communications channel does SMRP use to communicate with their members and continue to promote that mission?
Well, the Solutions magazine is just one. We also have SMRP Smart Brief. We've recently revamped our website, so you'll see a number of resources available to the maintenance and reliability community. So information on the CMRP, CMRT, SMRP approved training providers, the SMRP body of knowledge, live webinars, scholarships, local chapters, you know, and information on the annual conference, which will be taking place in Kansas City here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so you guys use a lot of different avenues to get that communication out, shared, and visible to the members and potential members as well. And I think you guys do a great job of that across all the different mediums out there.
Thank you very much, James.
Now, thinking about communication, not just from an SMRP standpoint, but also from a maintenance and reliability or asset management program, how important is communication when you're trying to implement improvements in a maintenance reliability program or start one for the first time at an organization?
Communication is very important in supporting and sustaining any successful maintenance and reliability program. You know, as individuals in today's day and age, many times we believe that once you send an email message or leave a voice message that has been effectively communicated to the person receiving that notification, many times it's not. Just to give an example, in Lifecycle Engineering's maintenance planning and scheduling workshop, we have a Lego exercise that focuses around building a dump truck out of Legos based upon a well-written job plan with a bill of materials or spare part. Each student is provided a set of Legos and expected to construct a reasonably complicated dump truck. You know, some sets are missing parts, some sets have a poorly defined job plan, some are missing pictures, you know, so on and so forth. But the purpose of this activity is really to drive home the value of a clear job plan that can be understood and communicated to everyone within the organization.
Yeah, communication is vitally important for every aspect. Like you mentioned, plans, scheduling with job plans, internal marketing or branding, if you will, of a maintenance program, and creating that awareness within an organization. That all comes down to communication in some form. And I think that, you know, organizations don't take enough time in developing a communications plan when they're rolling out a new program, when they're rolling out a change. I think a little bit of work would go a long way in helping secure and drive some of those improvements.
Effective communication certainly is critical.
Now, what organizations typically get wrong when communicating change programs?
I think that many organizations don't take into account the importance of addressing the people side of change when communicating internal modifications to an existing product or program. So, you know, all individuals need to understand the WIFM, or, you know, what's in it for me, especially when there's a cultural change involved. Many times this can be a complicated aspect of getting your organization to migrate from a reactive to a proactive culture. You can go in there and re-engineer these processes all day long, but at the end of the day, if people aren't adopting to the change, 9 times or 10 times out of 10, they're going to fail.
Yep, absolutely. It's that change management, so vitally important. And we've had Tara on from Lifecycle Engineering a few times to talk about that very topic. So definitely, if you're interested more in change management, you can reach back into the archives and dig up one or two of those episodes from Tara. Excellent around stakeholder management, how to manage change, and all those vitally important things.
Yeah, she's critical to our programs around, you know, learning leadership and change. Tara does a good job in, you know, relaying that message throughout the, you know, internally, you know, for our folks here to understand, but then also externally for our customers to understand as well.
She is a great resource. Now, how can organizations improve their own internal communications around these programs or around these changes?
James, I thought you brought it up earlier, you know, and having a structured change management plan that's going to support the organizations and having upper level management understand their role in leading the change, middle management's role in driving the change, and then the employee's role in adapting to the change. Typically, middle management is the most critical group in communicating this change throughout the organization. So middle managers are closest to the employees who usually have to adapt to these new processes associated with a project or initiative. And in many cases, the project also impacts their own work. Getting managers and supervisors on board and prepared to support their teams through the changes is really, really critical for an organization.
Yep, absolutely. Now, when organizations want to communicate internally, what have you seen as some of the best practices available out there for that? Is it a internal newsletter? Is it posters? Is it little one-page lessons at the lunchroom table? What have you seen out there that works?
You know, one-on-one meeting with each other is always the best avenue. You know, the face-to-face communications, like I'd mentioned before, in this day and age, you can get wrapped up in emails, just the efficiency of communication rather than the effectiveness of communication. So I think, you know, first and foremost is as a leader to make sure that everybody understands their role in driving change throughout the organization and the benefits that they're going to get by communicating change in a positive manner. And that's something that's going to be very important. So it always breaks down to, you know, if you're the leader, the middle manager, or just an employee that's, you know, carrying out the tasks and your role in either leading the change, driving the change, or adapting to the change.
All right. Very good. Now, are there any principles that internal communications should follow? Do we need a structured change plan? Do we need specific branding? You know, what should we be following when we're doing these internal communications?
Well, employees, you know, want to be informed and empowered in what communication plays and a key role in just doing that. You know, why should senior executive care what the employees want? Well, engaged and satisfied employees lead to positive business results. Employee engagement through effective communication is simply good business, I think, James.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Getting them engaged, getting their input, making them aware of changes that could impact them. Even if they don't impact them, people want to be aware of what's going on around them. So it's all vitally important. Now, we're going to switch paces again for a little bit, but let's go back to solutions. And for those people that may be interested in participating in this communication, for those that would like to write an article but feel their writing might not be up to par, what advice or words of wisdom can you offer them on Writing for Solutions or another trade magazine when they're concerned about their own writing skills?
Hey, we appreciate anybody who's willing to submit content for Solutions Magazine, especially folks that are working in manufacturing, you know, practitioners that can share relevant content on process improvement projects, KPIs, metrics, you know, that have positively impacted their business. The content submitted can run anywhere from a story to a more technical report. As long as it's focused around maintenance, reliability, and overall process improvement, we appreciate anybody who's willing to take time to put a pen to paper and share their experience. Our publication is quite unique in the fact it's a collection of articles from volunteers. We don't have a paid editorial staff or our authors. Tell them the management company handles a lot of the responsibilities when it comes to advertising, editing, publishing copies of the Solutions Magazine for members. So, you know, if you do have something that's, you know, related to your job and you've seen has made a positive impact on the business, you know, we release each issue on a bi-monthly basis around the five pillars of the SMRP body of knowledge, which are, you know, business and management, manufacturing, process reliability, equipment reliability, organization and leadership, and work management. So, you know, any of those good topics, and if you have really good content that you could contribute in those areas, you know, please send those over to us, and we'd be happy to take them into consideration.
All right, very good. Now, Do you have any tips or words of wisdom to share with people who have to communicate across organizations? Say that maintenance manager who's looking to bring in a PM optimization process or introduce planning and scheduling. What should they be thinking about when they want to craft that communication for their group?
You know, five things come to mind for me as far as tips of effective leadership communication, James. One's just be transparent. You know, you got to be honest with your employees. As with any relationship, if they don't believe you, they cannot and will not fully engage. Worse, they'll actively work against you, what you're trying to achieve or leave altogether. So the transparency is vitally important. You know, be consistent in your message. Communication should not be a once a quarter occasion. You know, start with a blog or send an occasional email, you know, that aren't tied to a major corporate announcement. Get in front of your employees on a regular basis and remind them while they're important and their role in the company's success. So FaceTime goes a long way to build credibility. Be visible. You know, get out there, the office, and walk the floor. You know, do Gemba walks. Visit the employees in both formal and informal meetings. Eat lunch in the cafeteria. You know, host all employees to a meeting and give, you know, while you give a business update. The fourth, you know, just be genuine. You know, you can't fake it. Employees will see right through you. You know, if you know communication leads to engaged employees who led to productivity, you should truly be interested in what they have to say. And then last but not least, you know, be fast. You know, create a hear it from me first mentality within the organization. Don't let employees read about an acquisition via a press release or, you know, somewhere along those way. You know, be the first to send an email to let them know what they need to know. And, you know, just be that leader within the organization. But, you know, of course, be transparent, consistent, visible, genuine, and be the first one to relay the news.
Yeah, and I think that last point that you bring up, to be the first one to relate that news, is vitally important because you can squash the rumor mill if you're able to be the first one up there and make sure your message is clear and broadcast out. If you don't, you leave it up to interpretation or worry, and then that rumor mill just explodes. So I really like that last point that you brought home.
You got it, buddy, for sure.
Now, what is the one thing you've seen done incorrectly with internal communications?
You know, I recently made a post on LinkedIn from George Bernard Shaw, who is an Irish playwright from the early 1900s, and he said the biggest problem in communication is the illusion that has taken place. So if you think about it, you know, communication is defined as the imparting or exchanging of information or news. Effective communication takes place when the recipient clearly understands the message that has been relayed from the sender. And this is important for leadership. But anybody who's looking to get things done within the organization, and, you know, there's so many avenues of communication in this day and age between email, phone, text, handwritten letters, and in my opinion, the most optimal avenue, which is face-to-face communication. In order for a message to be clearly relayed, it helps to solicit feedback from the recipient, you know, make sure that they understand the communication and can articulate back to you what they are trying to achieve. You know, always be appreciative and clear in your expectations, and the face-to-face form of communication allows you to really see that message and how it's been relayed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Face-to-face, definitely the best way to go where possible, but you mentioned all the different avenues, and I think the handwritten letter one, I think that would stand out if you were to do that, because it doesn't happen anymore. So when I think of, you know, right communication or proper communication, it's what makes the message stick. And you know, we all don't have time to write handwritten messages to everyone involved, but if it is warranted, use that avenue. It'll be remembered and recognized, and the person will never forget that.
I agree wholeheartedly.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Now, thinking of a typical maintenance guy, what is the one thing you would change regarding the way they communicate?
James, one thing I would change about the way a typical maintenance person communicates is by having them understand that their knowledge, many times from practical experience, needs to be shared with the organization. You know, I've worked in maintenance and computerized maintenance management software throughout most of my career, and a good portion of that time has been spent working with baby boomers, you know, ages 53 to 71, who enjoy working with their hands and understanding what activities are required to keep a machine up and running. You know, and OEM manuals are a good baseline for building PM procedures. However, you know, we must remember that the vendors are also in the business of selling spare parts and over-maintaining. You know, so an experienced craftsperson or operator already carries that wealth of knowledge and working on a piece of equipment and understand what needs to take place on a daily, monthly, quarterly, annually basis. So, you know, documenting this knowledge and effectively communicating this to the younger generation through well-written job plans, you know, is going to be essential for American manufacturing to prosper in years to come.
Yes, absolutely. Share that knowledge, get those good job plans in place, the foundation of any good work management system. Now, we talked a lot about communication, but what is the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this conversation and act on tomorrow?
Well, just keep in mind, you know, effective communication in the workplace helps employees and managers form highly efficient teams. You know, employees are able to trust each other and management. Effective communication reduces unnecessary competition within departments and helps employees work together harmoniously. So, you know, the result is a team works together as a highly productive, you know, highly high integrity and high responsibility. So, you know, employees know their roles and how they're valued. So, you know, managers are able to correct employees' mistakes without creating a hostile work environment. A manager who openly communicates with his subordinates can foster positive relationships that benefit the company as a whole. You know, also, you know, an improvement in employee morale can result from effective communication. You know, although pay is a concern for many workers, it's not their only concern. Employees appreciate good communication coming from management. It produces a healthy work environment. When employees are satisfied with their jobs, they are able to efficiently perform their duties with positive results. So, you know, failing to communicate effectively in the workplace leads to frustration among employees and a lot of confusion. So I would say, you know, James, the one takeaway that I would say is really realize the importance of effective communication. It's not easy to do in this today's day and age, and it's something that's vital to the success of the organization, whether you're a leader, a middle manager, or an employee of the organization.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that communication, spend 5 or 10 minutes, think about what you need to communicate and the best way to do that. That little bit of pre-work or communication plan, if you will yield benefits in how quickly you get out the message. Does the right message come across clearly? All those other things. Now, Dan, where can people find out more about you? Are you going to be at any events in the near future?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, you can always find me through the social media outlets, LinkedIn and Twitter. I'm pretty actively involved on those. I post a lot of content from Lifecycle Engineering on there and just, you know, some personal quotes that I find from time to time that it could help you get through the day. Be attending the SMRP annual conference October 16th through 19th in Kansas City. Also be at the International Maintenance Conference, IMC, December 11th through the 15th in Bonita Springs, Florida. Next week, I'm actually going to go down and participate in the CRL workshop in down in Florida, and that's September 25th through the 29th. So staying pretty active here in the fall season.
Yeah, and I'll look forward to, you know, being able to catch up with you in person again at the SMRP conference. I'll be there. Next week, I will actually be at the PMAC conference up here in Canada. So looking to try and get down there, IMC. Not sure if I'm going to be able to make it to that one, but definitely looking forward to SMRP in the coming weeks.
Awesome.
Now, Dan, do you have any resources that you can share with our listeners, whether they're from Lifecycle Engineering or SMRP, around communications?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Lifecycle Engineering was the first authorized training provider for ProSci, who's the recognized leader in change management. You know, LCE utilizes the ProSci toolkit and certification to assist our clients with the cultural transformation efforts. you know, that sometimes come with moving from, you know, a reactive, a proactive environment. Like I had mentioned earlier, you know, you can come in and implement these best practices all day long, but if the people don't understand what's in it for them, you know, many times it's going to fail. So, you know, we provide project management, education, and consulting services in change management. You can always learn more about these offerings through our website, which is www.lce.com. Communication is a critical aspect of change management. So ProSci founder Jeff Hyatt also has a book titled ADCAR, which is a great resource for anybody undergoing a change initiative. And then please check out the SMRP website as well, Member Services Solutions. You can preview the current issue, write for solutions, advertise with solutions, and opt to receive hard copy of our bi-monthly magazine. So, you know, just some resources out there for the listeners that, you know, can help them with their change management as well as their maintenance and reliability programs.
Excellent. I'll make sure to provide links to all this in the show notes, whether it's the ADCAR book, the conferences, ProSci, Lifecycle Engineering. That way everyone can one click and it'll take you right to that resource. So thanks, Dan, for providing all that. No, Dan.
Thank you very much, James.
Yes, thank you very much for taking the time to go through this vitally important topic of communication with everyone today. I walked away with something else, as I always do from all the experts that I bring on. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to share your knowledge on this with us, and thank you very much.
Always my pleasure, James.
All right, Dan, you have a great night.
Thank you very much. You do the same.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.